We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Enough of that. Let's dive into the message for today. Part two of this series, Closer. And if you could, go ahead and open up your Bible app, your church app, Bridge Church app, and go to the references tab in the app. You'll see where it says Sundays or today's sermon notes. Go ahead and click that link. And up there, you will see that I am calling this message, Express Yourself. Everybody say, Express Yourself. I need you to say it like you mean it. Say, Express Yourself. Express yourself. Matter of fact, tell the person beside you, express yourself. Express yourself, man. I know, you know, you may not know them, but express yourself. You guys may have heard that song that came out back in the day. Man, it was an amazing song, man. You know, people attached that song to so many different things. But the thing that I loved about that song is that it communicated this freedom to be at this place where you can express and show off kind of who you are and give yourself fully to something. And in our case, what God calls us to do is to give ourselves fully to Him. Last week, we kicked off this message series talking about worship 101 and what worship is. And actually, all throughout this series called Closer, this whole series is really looking at that one word, worship, and what worship is. We talked about that last week. That worship is me giving my all to the one who gave his all for me. That worship is not a song that we sing. Worship is not a hand clap. Worship is not a hand lifted, because you can do all those things and your heart be still far from God. God is not concerned with how well you sing. He is not concerned just with the song that you sing. He is not concerned with the hands that we lift. Those things are good. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But most importantly, what God wants the most is your hearts. He wants everything. Worship is about me giving my all. Matter of fact, today's message is going to be a little bit more teachy, because I want to help us understand how we can express worship. We talked about what worship is last week. If you missed that, go online, go to the app, you can listen to it. But today's message is really going to begin to talk about how we do it. And I want to look back at a scripture that we referenced last week in Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 30. Jesus is talking to some religious leaders who knew a whole lot about scripture and knew a whole lot about the law of God. And one of the teachers came to him and asked him, he said this, said, of all the commandments, which is the most important commandment? He asked this to Jesus. Jesus says in verse 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus is saying that the most important thing that I can do is to give our entire lives to God. Our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And for a quick second, I want to look at the things that Jesus is saying here. Notice what he says. He says, all your heart and all your soul. What does Jesus mean here? That's expressing my worship to God with my affection, my emotions, my passions, the very fabric of who I am. He says, give it all to God. Then notice what he says next. I want you to honor God and love God with all of your mind. What does Jesus mean there, that we express worship to God with our attention, that our thoughts are devoted to God, that our mentality is focused on God? That's what Paul would say after he would say in Romans 12 and 1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We talked about that last week. The next verse, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says that we are to love God with our mind. In other words, our thoughts should be centered on Jesus. And I know that's hard to do, because oftentimes we live in a culture where we can easily be distracted by so many different things. But when he talks about our mind, he means that our thoughts are focused on how can I please God? How can I live for God? But notice what he says next, what he says in the next verse or the next phrase. He says, not just with all your heart, mind, and soul, not just with all your mind, but also with all your strength. That's expressing worship to God with my abilities, my body, my talents, my gifts, everything that I have at my disposal, I give God worship with. Jesus commands us to worship God with all of ourselves. I said it like this last week, if you take notes. All of life is worship. Your entire life is a worship song to God. Everything you do is worship to God. How you parent your children is worship to God. How you work your job is worship to God. How you take care of your house is worship to God. How you love your spouse is worship to God. How you operate with your body, how you use your body is worship to God. How you spend your finances, do you honor God with that? How you use your talents and gifts, all of life is worship to God. And I think a lot of times the reason why we don't feel as close to God as we should is because we compartmentalize what we think is worship to God. So we say, oh, worship to God is just what I do when I come here on Sunday mornings. But then the rest of the week is all about me. And Jesus is saying, no, it doesn't work like that. All of life is to be an act of worship. But do you notice what Jesus is saying here in Mark 12? Notice that all of these have something in common. Worship God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love him with everything. What Jesus is saying in a nutshell is all of these are expressions of worship. It's expressive. Worship is to be expressed. Worship is to be expressed in the form of me giving my entire life to God. But as we'll learn today, it also has some specific elements as well. Worship, I'll say it like this, of God is expressing your love for God. How do I express my love for God? By worshiping him. By surrendering my life to him. But then as you continue to look throughout the course of Scripture, you also see that this dominant theme throughout the Bible when it comes to worship of God that is expressive is that it was expressive, especially when it came to music. You see that in the Old Testament. You see that in the New Testament. And I think that's interesting because music is infectious, right? Y'all remember last week when I was talking about, who we should worship? And we talked about that we're called to not worship celebrities and other people and jobs and stuff like that. We're called to worship God. And one of the things that we love in our culture is we love to idolize people. And so I shared the example of how, you know, even Michael Jackson in his heyday, he was idolized at concerts that Michael Jackson put on. People were literally passing out. Literally passing out, not because it was hot, but it was because, oh my God, it's like I've seen God incarnate again. Like he's the Messiah, right? Right? And I started to talk about like certain songs before Michael Jackson would even utter a note from a song or a line from a song. You would just hear the beat and automatically your body would start moving because you knew that song. Music is infectious. It's infectious. Matter of fact, one of the most iconic songs that always comes out around and that's always being played around this time of the year was developed by the great philosopher by the name of Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff that came out by the name of Summertime. Already, your mind has started to turn like, man, that's my jam, and oh my goodness, it makes me want to drop the top, it makes me want to roll down the windows, whether you got the old school rotary type of window or the push button, it's like, it's summertime, I'm rolling all the windows down. Music is infectious, right? Puts you in this certain mood. You hear a song and you sing it. Music, I don't know if you knew this or not, it's actually God's idea. God created music. And it's one of the greatest ways in which we express our worship. And worship of God through music in particular, and through singing, was not something that would just happen in this life, but it's also something, I don't know if you knew this or not, that will happen in all of eternity. Here's what Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song. Y'all see it? And they sang a new song. Let me help you understand something. If you don't like singing right now, well, I don't know what you're going to do when you get to heaven. Singing is a part of who we are, worshiping God through song. Then notice what it says next. You are worthy. This is the song that they were saying. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but God's plan for all of eternity is that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue will be gathered around his throne, worshiping him, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so therefore, the church on earth is to be a earthly representation of what it will be like in the new heaven and the new earth. In other words, I'm saying this, the church is called to be diverse. And notice that they're all singing the same song. Those who are white, those who are black, those who are Latino, those who are Asian, whoever it may be, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. They are all singing the same song. And who is the central character of that song? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's worship going on in heaven. Matter of fact, right now in heaven, angels are worshiping God, covering their eyes because he's so holy. Can't even set eyes on him. It's worship going on, man, and it's happening through song. Revelation 14 and 3, here's another verse. It says, and I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was that of harpists playing their harps. Not only is there singing, but it's like some instruments happening and some, you know, people getting down on that thing in heaven, man. It's a party going on in heaven. Yeah, and then notice what it says next. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. What is John, the one who got this revelation from God, who wrote the book of Revelation, what is he trying to communicate? That our life now as a believer is a preview of what we will be doing for all of eternity. So in other words, we are simply practicing now what we will be doing for all of eternity later. It's a preview. It's a preview. Let me say it like this. In hell, there will be wailing. In heaven, there will be worshiping. Both will be loud. Both will be expressive. So even when we come here on Sunday, man, I'm not trying to get us to be at a place where we just like some dead church. No, because if I can shout for the Philadelphia Eagles, if I can shout for the Los Angeles Lakers, and we suck right now, if I can shout for my favorite team and my favorite celebrity, why would I not want to be expressive and make some noise for the one who shed his blood for my sins, past, present, and future? So our church, man, the believers, the body of Christ, should be some of the most expressive people that you meet, because this is something that we're going to be doing for all of eternity. But here's the challenge, y'all, because depending on some of your backgrounds, especially if you grew up in certain churches where there was a lot of legalism, and what I mean by legalism is like, you can't do this, you can't do that, and a lot of that stuff was not even biblical at all, because some of us have grown into those contexts and been a part of that context, you may not even be comfortable with the whole notion of being able to express God, express worship to God in this way. So that's why maybe for some of us, we just come in here and it's like when the worship team is singing and leading us in worship through song, it's like we just kind of, you know, have a stone cold Steve Austin face, you know? And like I like to say, we just the frozen chosen. We just like to sit still. No, worship team, no matter how well you sing, I'm not going to lift up a hand. No matter how, you can be snotting out boogers because of Jesus' grace, but I'm not moving. Because some of our backgrounds never permitted you to be expressive in your worship, right? Some of us, you know, in here, you're a little bit, your experience, you're a little bit more mild-mannered, you're a little bit more dignified. Let me help us understand something. In heaven, dignity goes out the window. Because in heaven, you got people who say, I don't even deserve to be in heaven right now, and I'm only here because of the grace of God. Amen. Right? So, man, you got to throw that stuff out the window. I want us as a church, here's my hope. Because many of us in here, like, we're restricted when it comes to being expressive to God through worship. For various reasons. Various reasons. But here's what I want for us today. My hope is that we will be free to be expressive in our worship of God. I want us to be free to worship. I want when people come in here on a Sunday morning to see people who got tears flowing because they're thinking about God's grace, who got hands lifted because they're saying, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I give it to you. I want people to come in here and see people so expressive to where they're like, my God, why are they so going in like this? Why are they so passionate? And man, if they're this passionate about a God that they can't see but that they know, well, let me listen a little bit more about this God. I want people, when they see us at our jobs throughout the course of the week, glowing with the grace of God, coming in with a positive outlook, not because everything around us is good, but because God is good. I want them to inquire and say, how can you be so positive with so much negativity happening? And you would say, because my worship for God and of God is not based upon what he's done, it's based upon who he is. I want us to be a church where we're expressive like that. Where we don't need people on the stage to prime us up. No matter what kind, you could have had hell on earth type of week this past week. But that compares nothing to what God has done for you through Christ Jesus on the cross. That compares to nothing compared to the things that God has done in your life, the doors that he's opened, the healings that he's brought forth, the things that he spares you from that you deserve to have happen to you. When you think about God's goodness, when you think about his grace, it should cause you to be expressive in your worship to God. Not only to give my entire life to him, but to also be expressive in my worship of God. All throughout the Bible, you see these different types of expression. You see people worshiping God in different ways, but one place that stands out more than the others in the Bible is this book called the Book of Psalms. It's kind of right dead smack in the middle of your Bible right now. And all throughout the Book of Psalms, and that word just simply means a book of songs. It's songs that are being offered up to God by these different writers. Most of them, a good chunk of them, were composed by this guy who was very central to all the Bible by the name of David, King David. And he wrote all of these different songs to God. But you would oftentimes notice how David would worship God. And he would use these different descriptions of how he would worship God. That his expression in worship of God wasn't just that he surrendered his life, but it also had physical expressions as well. So we're going to look at a few different expressions of worship to God. This list that I'm about to give you is not exhaustive by any means. They're just ones that typically occur frequently throughout the course of Scripture. If you're taking your notes, they're actually in your Bible, your notes in your app right now. Here's the first expression that I want to look at. Worshiping God through kneeling or bowing down. Kneeling or bowing down. It's something that you see happen quite often, not just in the Book of Psalms, but also throughout all of Scripture itself. Notice what Psalm 95 and 6 says. This is in your notes. Come, let us bow down and worship. Come, let us bow down and worship. Do y'all see it? Bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. What does this speak of? It speaks of God's royalty. It speaks of God's majesty. You bow down for a king. You bow down for royalty. And Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. And we bow down before him. We worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a way that we worship God, by bowing down. I know for some of us in here, you're like, man, that seems super weird. To bow down, what does it represent? It represents a sign of reverence. A sign that says, God, there is no one like you. You don't bow down for anybody. You bow down for the Lord Jesus. This is why Scripture will later on say that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And I love that it says every knee will bow, not just the knee of every believer, but also the knee of every unbeliever. Angels in heaven are bowing. Demons in hell, even Satan himself, will have to bow because he's worthy. It's a way in which we worship God, by bowing down before him. Here's the next thing, something that we all are familiar with, many of us are familiar with, through hand clapping. Notice what Psalm 47:1 says out of the New Living Translation. Come, everyone, clap your hands, shout to God. Then notice what it says next, with joyful praise. Clap your hands. Clap. Clap. That's why we clap in here. Not just because, like, it's a good thing to do. No, Scripture says clap your hands. Clap your hands. For who? For the Lord. And not just some old little, you know, golf clap. Oh, great job. Great job, Lord. Oh, you're so awesome. You brought me out of that experience. You saved me from that sin. You opened up that door. No. Undignified. Clapping loud. Amen. Right? We do this all the time, man. It's just, for some of us, we're like, man, this seems so crazy. You do this all the time when you hear your favorite song. Many of us, some of us in here who are sports fans, you do it when your favorite team scores a touchdown. You jump off your couch. You're standing up. You're anxious. When they score a touchdown, you throw your hands up. If we can do those things for a football team that doesn't know us, and for people who have no relationship with us, could we not do the same, if not more? Matter of fact, we should do it more for the God who knows us, who made us, who knows the number of heads on our head, who shed his blood on the cross for our sins. Should we not do the same thing? We clap our hands because God is worthy. That's another way that we worship God. Here's another one. We lift our hands. We lift our hands. Here's what Psalm 134, verse 2 says. Lift up your hands. I love how the book of Psalms is so descriptive and so to the point as to how we can worship God. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. In other words, in the Old Testament, it was the place of worship, and praise the Lord. Lift up your hands. So when we say in here, we lift up our hands, we're lifting them up to God. We're worshiping God because he is good. We lift them. Lifting don't mean like we keep them here. You got your whole Beyonce thing going on, you know. No, no, no. We lift them. We lift them. I don't care if you got to roll up your sleeves to lift up your hands. Roll them up and lift them hands up, man. Why? I love that the language of lifting our hands, this is not even in my notes, nor is it in yours. It's kind of on the spot revelation. It's almost like a foreshadow of what the Lord Jesus would do on his cross. His hands were raised, outstretched, and one hand having heaven, the next hand having fallen humanity, and through him he becomes the bridge. Good name for a church, right? He reconciles us to God. And so now when we think about what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross, we lift up our hands as a sign to say, thank you. As a sign to say, Father. Matter of fact, in the original Greek language, you could translate that word Father, especially when Jesus says, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. It translates to Papa. It speaks to that of a child lifting up his or her hands to God. I love when Arby comes to me and says, up. Even at 2 years old, she still says it. Now, it's weird when my son, 4 year old, says, up, daddy. No, you're too big, bro. No, I ain't going to pick you up like that. I'll pick you up another way, wrestle you. But it's a sign where it says, I want to be close to you, and I worship you. I lift up my hands. It's a sign of reverence. Notice what the next one is. Through singing, Psalm 33, 1 says, sing joyfully to the Lord. Many of us know that. You righteous, it is fitting for the upright to praise him. Sing joyfully. Sing. Sing, like actually open up your noise. Some translations say, make a joyful noise. It don't matter if you can sing or not. God knew you couldn't sing when he made you. And yet he still put it in his scriptures. It's not predicated based upon whether you hit the right note or you're not, whether you're off or you're not. God don't care nothing about that. He cares about a heart that's surrendered and submitted, because a heart that's surrendered and submitted makes a joyful noise and a better sound than the one whose heart is not submitted and still sounds good. Did y'all catch that? You can sound really good singing and your heart be far from God. God cares nothing about it. But you got the worst voice in human history. You would never audition on The Voice. But because your heart is close to God, your singing is sweet melodies to the Lord our God. He says that's the sound of worship, because it's a heart that's close to me. That's what it's about. But then he not only says sing, but to do so joyfully, man. Be pleasant, like enjoy, love it. Love it. I love being able to come in here and worship God on Sunday mornings. Sundays is my favorite day of the week. Every day is awesome, but Sundays, there's something unique and special about it. Because we get to come together as a church and worship God, lift up hands, bow down, kneel down, open up mouths, and sing praises to our God. There is nothing like hearing other people singing worship to God. There's nothing like it. It's a picture of what heaven will sound like. That's what it's about, singing joyfully. So when you come in here on Sunday morning, man, sing unto the Lord. And matter of fact, what Sunday is designed to help you do is not for you just to be limited to your worship just on Sunday. It's designed to equip you to be able to do this Monday through Sunday. So you get in your car and you leave here still making melodies to God. You're at your job tomorrow when you don't know how things are going to pan out, you begin to sing what a beautiful name it is. There is no rival. There is no equal, because these people on my job are getting on my nerves, Jesus. But when I think about you, I come to a peaceful place. Man, you need to start singing on your job, man. Sing while you work. Worship while you work. Sing while you drive. Worship while you drive. Notice I didn't say lift up your hands while you drive. Worship while you drive. I don't want to have to be doing your funeral right now. But man, it doesn't matter where you are. Worship God. Sing to God. One of the things that we like to do in our house, especially throughout the course of the week and especially on Sundays, is we like to play music in our house, especially during the dinner time or in the morning or whatever, just to begin to set the atmosphere, man. This is how our day's going to go, man. We're going to worship God. We ain't playing Meek Mill and Jay-Z and all this. No, we're going to set the course. Jay-Z ain't here to help me when I'm going through. No, we're going to worship God, man. Going to set the atmosphere for how the rest of my day going to go. We're going to set the atmosphere for how our week is going to go. We're going to make songs unto God. Then notice another form of expression of worship in the Bible is through instruments. Psalm 33, 2 through 3 says this: praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. That doesn't mean the person who's a liar. It was actually an instrument. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy through instruments. That's why we got drums and guitars and keyboards up here. Use anything to worship God. Some of us may come from backgrounds where it was like, no, you're not allowed to do that. Once again, you're gonna hate heaven. They're playing harps in heaven, y'all. Scripture already told us that. The goal is that we use everything to worship God. Everything, even the instruments. Even the instruments. These instruments that are up here are tools that can help us to draw close to God. That it's interesting because the drum by itself kind of is just a sound. A guitar by itself is just a sound. Keys by itself, it sounds good, but it's just a sound. But when you begin to merge these things together, oh my goodness, it's a beautiful sound. So we worship God even with the instruments. We use it all. God has given gifts, giving people abilities to be able to make melodies unto God. David in the Bible was a harpist, and he played that harp better than anybody else in the land. He made worship unto God through that. Any instrument can be used to glorify God. So some of us in here, man, I just helped some of y'all. I just set some of you guys free because you're like, man, I don't really know how to worship God, but I know how to play an instrument really well. Man, make a melody to God. That is worship to God. Pluck them strings to the glory of God. Play those keys to the glory of God. Beat those drums to the glory of God. When Josiah, our son, when he was younger, he would actually kind of create his own little drum set. He would take like a bag of blocks that he had, and then he would take these little these little cardboard tubes that he would find around the house and stuff like that, and he would literally make his own drum set, and he would be singing. Now to us, it's like, dude, oh my gosh, it's noisy. But I believe in some weird kind of way, that was worship for him. Because he's singing about Jesus while he's doing it. It's worship to God. It's what we offer up. Here's another thing. This one may throw some of you guys off, especially depending on if you grew up in a certain type of church background or depending on how you view scripture, through dancing. Dancing. Now, some of us who come from a very legalistic background, some of us were taught, dancing is of the devil. It's going to lead to sin, right? Some of you guys may have thought that. Or dancing is sinful. All throughout the Bible, you see dancing taking place. Dancing is not the issue. Just like instruments isn't the issue. Just like lifting the hands isn't the issue. It's what you're doing it for that becomes the issue. So notice what the Bible says again in Psalm 150 and 4. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. And dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Matter of fact, David was a man who danced unto God in the Bible. You see other courses in scripture where people were healed and set free, and they were praising God and dancing. shouting and dancing. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 3, there was this guy who was healed from his from this state of paralysis. He was this person who couldn't walk, was restricted, and he was a beggar. And he was asking people to give him money, and he came across Peter and a few other apostles at the time, and he was asking them for money, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I freely give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk." The Bible says that this man stood up to his feet, he started singing and dancing, y'all. Dancing. Cutting a two-step for Jesus. That's what he was doing. Dancing. Dancing ain't something that culture made up, y'all. Dancing was God's idea. It's an expression of worship. That's what it's all about. Now, for some of us in here, like, dancing is not my cup of tea. Lifting my hands is more of my cup of tea. That's cool. But if, like, man, you love to be expressive and you in worship, and it's like, man, I can't contain myself. I gotta move. I gotta bust a move. I gotta move a shoulder. I gotta rock and sway and rock, whatever. Express it, man. Worship God with it. Here's the point of what I'm saying, that we should be expressive in how we worship God. You never hear in Scripture, when it talks about worship, where it says, you know, don't say nothing. Don't sing. Don't shout. No. Oftentimes, when you hear people praising and worshiping God, it was very expressive. So let me free some of us in here, because you've let your disposition define how you worship God. Because some of us have the mentality, well, I'm really shy and I'm really reserved. No, you're not. You just choose what you express your emotions with. It's a choice. Now, I'm not saying that some of us are introverted, some of us are extroverted. I know that. I get that. I'm not saying that. God knew that as well when he designed you. But yet, he still calls us to worship him. So obviously that means that I'm not defined by my disposition. I'm defined by who God is. My worship is not defined by my personality. My worship is defined by who God is. That's what it's about. Is this making sense? That's what it's about, y'all. So don't give God some nice, cute, no, I want to look all nice and clean type of worship, you know, because I'm worried about what other people think about me. Listen, other people ain't going to be there when you're going through. They may be there, but they're not going to be the one to heal you. They're not going to be the ones to provide for you. God is doing that. And last time I checked, if he's the one doing that, he is worthy of all of our worship. He is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all the glory. He is worthy of all the honor. He is worthy of us lifting up our hands. He is worthy of us clapping our hands. He is worthy of us singing. He is worthy of us shouting. He is worthy of us kneeling down, bowing before him. He is worthy of us dancing. He is worthy of all those things. I'm not trying to say I want you to be super spooky and some, you know, weird type of people. I'm not saying that even on Sunday mornings that, you know, when people come in here, they just see people running around and doing backflips off the ceiling and all that type of stuff. No. There's still an orderly way to do things. But don't hide behind orderly for being comfortable. Because that's oftentimes what we like to do. No, you got to be in order. So being in order means being silent. Right? No. Be free to worship God. Be free to worship God. Here's what Jesus would actually say some centuries later, John 4:23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Do y'all not see this here? Not only does Scripture command us to worship, God wants our worship. He wants us to worship. He wants us to be close to him, y'all. He wants to be close to us. I don't know if you knew that or not. Because many of us in here think that, man, God doesn't want to have anything to do with me because I've sinned, I've cussed people out, I've lied, I've committed adultery, I've done this heinous act. I know God doesn't want to have anything to do with me. No, God wants to be close to you. Because it's only when you draw close to him and when he's close to you that you can be set free from those things that have been holding you hostage for so long. Those things that have been keeping you in bondage, those negative experiences that have kept you down, God says, would you just draw close to me so that way you could be set free from those things? He says, this is what God is looking for. He's looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 24, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Here's what the Apostle Paul would say sometime later in Colossians 3. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. That's the gospel. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms. What psalms does he mean? The psalms that we just referenced. Hymns and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. What do I got to be grateful to God for? Because of everything he's done for me. He's made a way out of no way. I don't think it takes that long for us to begin to think about what God has done for us that should lead to us worshiping him. Like some of y'all have survived car accidents that you had no business surviving. That's the grace and mercy of God. Some of us are working jobs right now that you were not qualified for. That's the mercy of God. Some of us should have died because of the STD. That's the mercy of God. And it's for that reason that we make music and worship him. That's what Paul is saying. Sing with gratitude in your heart, because when you think about the goodness of Jesus and everything he's done for you, it should well up with a soul that says hallelujah. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything honor God with giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why do we worship God? In an expressive way, with singing, with lifting hands, with bowed down knees. Why do we do this with dancing? Because of what he's done for us through Jesus. In other words, it's saying this, if you can't even think of a practical reason why you should worship God, you have the most important reason as to why you should worship God, and it was found on the cross. It was found when Jesus forgave your sin and iniquity. Here's what Romans 5 and 8 says. It's one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God showed his love to you and me before you and I got ourselves together. Because here was the reality. You can never get yourself together without the mercy and grace of God. God loved you while you were unlovable. God loved you when nobody else was around. God forgave you when you did not deserve being forgiven. I've noticed an interesting correlation with why people oftentimes don't worship. Many of the times why people don't worship is because they don't understand the gravity of their sin. Y'all, when I think about my sinfulness, the wreck stuff that I've done throughout the course of my life, where I deserved the judgment of God, but instead got the mercy of God, I have no reason other than that to worship him. And many times the reason why people hold back in worship is because you don't think that you're as bad as you actually are. You think you're better than you actually are. And God is like, man, your sin is so wicked. It's so tainted, but still that hasn't changed my love for you. Smoked just about every brain cell out of your head, but I still love you. Threw about every bottle, went to every party, went to this place. You lied here, you lied there. You slept with this person, you slept with that person. You lied on your job application, said you got this, but you really didn't get this at all. And yet God says, but I still love you. And I see all of the stuff that you hide so well that people still don't know about. And I still love you. And I still sent Jesus to die for your sins, past, present, and future. That's enough reason for us to lift up our hands and worship God. That's why we do it. And not just lift our hands, but surrender our lives, where we say, Jesus, you have everything. We express our love for God because he expressed his love for us in Jesus. That's why we do, and I'm closing with this thought that we should be the most expressive people. If you're a follower of Christ in here, you should be the most expressive person when it comes to your gratitude to God that people should meet. Because God has done so much for you. He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. We worship passionately. We clap our hands. We lift our hands. We kneel down. We bow before him. We dance. We make melodies to God through instruments. Why do we do this? Because of who God is. I've often been asked, man, you preach so passionately. Man, you get loud and man, you start sweating. Why do you do that? And I answer the question not in the expressive manner that I'm feeling on the inside. I answer it in a very dignified way, I oftentimes say, because that's what God has done for me. He was passionate in his pursuit of me. Let me give you a preview as to how I feel on the inside. Why do I preach with passion? Because Jesus died on the cross, and I didn't deserve it. And the minute I forget that is the minute I forget how much I've been saved from the sinfulness of my past, present, and future. Why would I not want to do this? Why would I not want to? That's how I feel on the inside when I'm answering that question. Why would I not want to? Why would I not want to open up my mouth? I understand when the scripture says, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, I'm more than a conqueror. I understand it. So why would I hold back? Why would I be cute with it? There was nothing cute about the cross. It was bloody. It was ugly. It was nasty. It was something that Jesus didn't deserve. It was something that I deserved. Why would I not want to give God my best? Why? How dare I sit on the front row of this church service and not dare lift a hand and not dare open a mouth when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing? Why would I not do that? How dare I sit here and just be reserved? How dare I sit here and say nothing? How dare I sit here with my arms crossed and my eyes closed, not thinking about anything other than what I'm going to eat after service? How dare I do that when God didn't spare anything so I could be a part of his family? If I can get passionate about a football team who can do nothing for me other than make me go broke because I'm spending $100 to go see them play, why would I not want to lose my voice for the one who saved my soul? Why would I not want to lift up my hand to say, thank you, God, for what you've done? I want us to be free to worship God. And it's not rooted in some, oh, this is what we should do on Sundays. No, no, no. It's rooted in the very aspect of the gospel. That's what it's rooted in. It has nothing to do with, oh, we need to be more expressive. It has everything to do with, no, do you recognize what God has done for you? Do you really believe what he's done for you, he did for you? Or do you believe you did it? Because when you begin to think about how you don't deserve anything that he's given you, how he's made ways out of no ways, how he's provided for you, you are on your face asking God, please make a way because I don't know how these bills are going to get paid, and he did. And when you think about that, you should be running into the building on Sunday mornings, making a beeline to worship him. And not just on Sundays, but every day throughout the course of the week. You should wake up every day saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will give him worship. I will give him praise. That's why we do this. That's what it's about. And so I want us to be at a place as believers, as people of God, if you're a follower of Christ, where we say, you know what, gone is this really reserved type of thanksgiving that I give to God, because he didn't reserve anything when he sacrificed everything on the cross. He didn't reserve anything when he poured out his blood on the cross. The least I could do is give him an unreserved type of worship, an unreserved type of praise. So in this moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to lead us in a moment of prayer. Two things I want to do. Number one, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Jesus, I don't know you, but I've heard this pastor talk so much about you. I've heard him talk about how you went to the cross. You died on the cross for my sins. I didn't deserve it, but you did it. I've heard this pastor talk about how you were the one who made ways. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my spouse, not my job, not my creativity. It was you. And today I want to say, I want to give you my life, Jesus. I want to surrender my life to you. If that's you this morning, you have the awesome opportunity and privilege to give your life to Jesus. And I don't want you to walk out of this door saying, I'll do it next time. Or no, it's not that serious. No, I want you to walk out of this door today saying, I gave my life to Jesus. I believe that he did everything that he said he would do. He did it. He was faithful and I didn't deserve it. And now I'm a part of his family. I want that for you today. So if you're here and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ today, I want to receive his love, I want to become close to him, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, come to the front. Nobody's looking, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. It's just you and God. If this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he is here for you. And if you're saying, I want to give my life to him today, I want you just to shoot up your hand right now. If that's you, lift up your hand, no matter who you are, male or female, young or old, doesn't matter. If you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today, just lift up your hand. It's not about a church. It's not about if you come to a church service. You can go to a church service and still be far from God. It's about you coming close to God. If this is your desire and you're saying, today, I want to be close to him, would you lift up your hand just so I can lead you in a moment of prayer? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and come to the front. It's just you and God. Lift up your hand if that's you. That's you. Awesome. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that was you, you lifted up your hand, you're saying, I'm giving my life to Christ. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have everlasting life. I give you my life as an act of worship. I receive your life in return. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. This is what I'm going to do as we end service. We're going to worship God with our giving in just a second. We're going to go ahead and get in our hands whatever it is that we're going to give to God. Matter of fact, you can go ahead.